Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. And, you know, Mike, since we last did this, really, nothing much has happened. I mean, ruled out a franchise quarterback, named a new starter, learned about the aorta, learned about some sternoclavicular something or other. You know, I do want to say this, and, you know, we kid around.
I thought sternoclavicular was the left wing for the Swedish Olympic team. Guess not.
You know, I've learned a lot about, you know, anatomy and biology. I remember in 2005, Ben taught me what a meniscus was. I didn't know what a meniscus was at that point. Learned a little bit about ankles last year. This year, it's the difference between the AC and the SC.
SC is usually the better team.
Yeah, usually.
Like that song, too. Fight on for all the sea. Troy sings that for me every
once
in a while.
Does he? Yeah. I hope they're singing that song loud and proud here in a couple of weeks, but I digress. Steelers against the Ravens, or as I've come to call it, Armageddon 1, the quest without Ben. I don't know. Call me crazy. I still think the Steelers can win this game.
You're crazy. I agree with you. Doesn't necessarily preclude you from having issues, but I look at this Ravens team, and we've talked at times on this program about identity and have the Steelers found theirs. And I don't know if this is word association, but there's certainly an indelible picture in your mind, is there not, when you think of the Ravens?
Yes.
Start with their defense. I the traditional Ravens of recent vintage, I think of three things with that defense. One, brick wall run defense. You're not running the ball on this team. Forget about it. Number two, a relentless blitz package. Guys coming from everywhere, or guys just coming off the edge in the traditional fashion like T-Sizzle and beating you. Boy, how's this going to get blocked? And, man, is this going to be a long day with this blitz package? And the third thing is when you throw that ball down the field, Ed Reed has as good a chance to come down with it and score as your guy does. And I look at this current collection of Ravens, and I see none of those things still valid characterizations of how Baltimore's playing defense.
Yeah, and there's none of those things, you know, based on what is, you know, average defensive play in the NFL, let alone none of those things based on the dominant units that the Ravens used to put forth on the defensive side, you know, year in and year out. I mean, you statistics often don't tell a lot of it, but, you know, the Ravens rank in the bottom third in the league in just about every defensive statistic except for yards per carry rushing, but they do give up a lot of yards total. They have some takeaways, interceptions. They're only ninth. They're ninth in the league in that. You know, but they're almost last in the NFL in giving up first downs, which means teams are not going three and out.
I think what is it? The opponents have run 100 more plays,
something like
than
that.
Baltimore has, give or take.
Yeah, and
it's a big number.
Yes, and so. You know, and I don't think you can attribute all of that to a quick strike offense because, you know, we'll get into that here in a minute too. You know, you talk about a Ravens identity, you know, on offense, it was, you know, run the ball, don't make the mistakes, you know, play it kind of close to the vest, you know, let your defense force the other team into the critical mistakes and then, you know, find a way to win the game at the end. And I think that the Ravens' identity on offense, they're struggling a little bit with that because they believe that they have to put the ball in the hands of their quarterback more. They have to make more plays in the passing game in order to win a championship. I don't know that I disagree with that, especially based on what their defense has become. However, they're still more successful when Ray Rice is the focal point of the offense. So
yeah, what's the number when he gets 20 touches or 20
right.
carries or something along those lines? They have a tremendous record of success, and when he doesn't, they don't. But, yeah, that's a flip side. You mentioned the offense. That's a flip side of what I was talking about because they're not the traditional Ravens that you remember on offense either, but they seemingly are more combustible, more productive, more dangerous, except they've been so in and out. If you're playing at M&T Bank Stadium, chances are pretty good they're going to be combustible and dangerous. If you're playing somewhere else, there's a chance they could go, I don't know, six or seven series in a row, three and out in Cleveland.
And here's another dichotomy, conundrum, whatever word actually means what I'm going to say. Joe Flacco is not good on the road, but he's been good at Heinz Field in the regular season recently. So, I don't know. I still believe that what we see from the Steelers and Ravens and games against other teams does not necessarily preview what we're going to see from them when they play each other. Steelers and Ravens, I just believe it's a different kind of a game. And I still think 20 points wins Sunday night. How you get there and which team does it should be pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, very. It's a fascinating matchup, and really no way to gauge it, particularly with the situation at quarterback for the Steelers. That throws a tremendous X factor into it, because we have not seen Byron Leftwich do this. He's done it, but he hasn't done it in a long, long time. It's been interesting the last couple days here, listening to him speak and his teammates speak about him. He's been here a long time, Bob, and a couple times previously an opportunity has arisen and Byron Leftwich hasn't been healthy, hasn't been able to to take advantage of it. I talked to him about that in training camp, and that still bothers him that he was unable to answer the call.
In 2010 specifically, yeah. I'll bet.
Well, and even last season too, right?
At the end when Ben had the ankle. Yeah. If they had that revocable IR, he would have been able to play in that game.
I'm just
pointing out the length of time that required to heal.
But I think he's going to be a pretty motivated guy. He's saying all the right things, and he's, it's not about me. I just have to do what I do and run the offense, play as a team, and all that. But he's got to be. This is a big deal for him. He hasn't been in this kind of spotlight probably since his Jacksonville days.
And the one quote I really liked from Leftwich, in any accounting of his recent career, his time in Tampa is brought up, his time in Atlanta is brought up. Neither one of those teams was very good when he happened to be there. And his quote about, getting to play with these Steelers, he said, "It gives me comfort understanding who I'm going out there with. This ain't the Bad News Bears." Byron Leftwich is not going to go out there and with an ego to, "I'm going to show everybody how good I am." I really believe that he just wants to fit into the context of what this team is doing. I think he's excited about playing with a good team and, being a part of it. And, I think that Leftwich will acquit himself well. Now we'll see if the other pieces around him can complement him and the Steelers come away with a victory. But I would be surprised if Byron Leftwich, when the game was over, if we came to the understanding that the quarterback cost the Steelers the game. That would surprise me.
Yeah, me too. I think the offense has a chance to get some things done. My concern would be defensively, taking on the occasionally or sometimes combustible and explosive Ravens. And I'll give you full disclosure here. Jacoby Jones
frightens me.
And I don't know how they contend with that other than kick the thing into the third row. Put it in a river if you can. That guy's the real deal.
Yeah, or, kick it to the 20-yard line. Don't kick it because he has absolutely no fear of bringing it out. I mean, if 9 yards deep isn't enough. 9 yards deep isn't enough. But, again, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Ravens have to be run on to me. If you look at what they have given up rushing lately, against Kansas City, 214 yards rushing. Against Dallas the next week, 227 yards. Against Houston the next week, 181 yards. At Cleveland, 116 yards. Those teams also average 4.3, 5.4, 4.9, and 4.3 per carry. The Steelers have to be in that neighborhood. They have to be able to use their running game as more than just a complement. They need to be able to use it as a weapon, both in terms of ball control, field position, and, in my opinion, down in the red zone. The running game has to be a factor in helping your offense score touchdowns instead of settle for field goals.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of that's going to be on the offensive line. Willie Colon said yesterday he thinks the offensive lines will decide it. You know, what else would he say? He plays offensive line. But if you want to look at the two lines, they'd been coming on. Steelers had been kind of arcing up, gaining momentum, playing better 1 week than they had the previous week. Then I thought against that Kansas City Chiefs team that I have very little respect for, they got handled in both trenches.
I don't disagree with that. The one thing, though, it is interesting to me, you know, you mentioned what's Willie Colon going to say? He plays offensive line. I still think, though, that this is something of a change in a good way for this offensive line unit. They are now starting to develop a little bit of their own personality instead of being the, unwanted redheaded stepchild in the back of the car who's just along for the ride. Hey, don't mess it up.
Kind of like the Ravens offense used to be in the Baltimore locker room.
Right. I like that about this group. I think, I don't know if it's the switch to guard or if it's the fact that he missed almost two full seasons, but Willie Colon seems to be more out front than even he was when he was a starting right tackle. Now, maybe that has to do with his age, too. He's, one of the more senior guys along that front, but I like it. I like what he brings. I like his attitude. I like the infectious demeanor that he seems to, be spreading out among some of those young guys. I'm feeling better about this offensive line unit going into the Ravens game. You'd go into the Ravens game with what the Steelers used to have on the offensive line, and you'd think, boy, just hope Ben doesn't get killed.
Put your two arms up over your face and brace.
Right. Impact.
God,
yeah.
Put a hand over it, peer out from between your fingers because you don't want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to see it. Yeah, I agree, but again, I thought, James Harrison, speaking for the defense against the Chiefs, said it was a step back. I thought it was a step back for the offensive line, too, and we'll see if they can get it back and get it back headed in the other direction because they were starting to show some potential, but it's got to be there every week, Bob. It just has to.
It definitely does. The margin for error shrinks considerably when you don't have your eraser, that being your franchise quarterback. So, the Steelers, they've experienced this in the recent past, 2010, the first four games. I think they understand, what's required to win without Ben. And I think they also understand, playing the Baltimore Ravens without Ben, as they did in that stretch, what you cannot do against the Ravens and still expect to beat them. That game to me was enlightening, and I'm hoping it was beyond just the players but also for the coaching staff. I don't think you can play, remember the way they played with Charlie Batch. It was almost, when they were playing offense, it was almost like they were playing afraid.
Yes.
While they were on offense. You can't do that. I mean, I don't want to see Leftwich be asked to throw 50 times and convert every third down with his arm, but I still think you need to trust him to make some plays that your quarterback is going to have to make in this kind of game.
Yeah, I would agree. And part of what's going to get that done, if it does get done, is they're going to have to be very physical, and they're going to have to be able to take some shots too. I'll say this about the Baltimore defense. Statistically, nowhere near what you're used to seeing. Just kind of the way the games play out and what they're doing and the people they're doing it with. Not necessarily what you're used to seeing, but what's out there, they still run around and hit hard. They don't always make the play where it's supposed to be made, but they're going to pop you, and that's going to be an all-day thing too. So got to be ready for 15 rounds, whatever cliche you want to use. It's certainly not going to be easy. Then again, nothing worth getting is, right?
Yeah, and it's also, it's not going to be easy, and I think it's going to be one of those games where you can probably, when it's over, identify six or fewer snaps of the ball where the plays were either made or not, depending upon which color jersey you're rooting for. that will determine the outcome of this game. I don't see one team, taking this game by the throat early and just sustaining that. It won't be 35-7. I don't expect a rash of turnovers. I don't expect either team to be unable to match the intensity of the other, starting with the opening kickoff, as we saw in Baltimore last September. So, yeah, this one's going to get on to the end. It's going to be close. We'll see. I don't think the Steelers can win a Super Bowl without Ben Roethlisberger, but I think they can win some games without him. I've seen them do it. I think they can win this one Sunday night.
Yeah, and, sometimes you just need to get a timely contribution from your backup players, Leftwich. In that situation this time around, we saw what was it, 2005 they won in Green Bay?
Yes, Charlie Batch.
All the victories count, and this one in particular, you'd have to think if they're going to get anywhere desirable in the postseason, they're going to have to at least split these Baltimore games.
At least.
Two in the next 3 weeks. It's certainly going to be a lot easier to beat them at home than it will be on the road. So, time to go a little Churchill. If not now, when? If not Byron Leftwich, who? Right?
There you go.
Done.
And I also think that not that there's a lot of proud, talented players in the Steelers locker room who have achieved a lot of success. And I think that when they are either told or they get the feeling that the belief is they can't win without someone, they want to show you that they can. And I think that for the short term, that can be an asset for the Steelers.
Yeah.
For the short term. I don't want to be going a month like this, you know. So we'll see how we do.
Should be an exciting game, thrilling. What's that phrase for a game like that? Aorta stopping? Is that it? No, it's heart stopping.
Heart stopping, yes.
It's going to be fun, Lev. See you Sunday.
Two trains, same track.
Woo-woo!
That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week after Steelers-Ravens, Armageddon 1, the quest without Ben.